We heard a verse from Psalm 29, responsorial psalm that we had today, which states, "Adore the Lord in holy attire." While that means the things that we wear on the outside, it's also speaking about the things that we have on the inside, the things that manifest themselves in our actions outwardly. Oftentimes I get the question, why does a priest or a deacon have to wear these special robes for Mass? And they're only worn for Mass or for presiding over various rites. Well, the vestments are worn as a reminder that it is Christ who works through the ordained minister whenever we celebrate the sacred mysteries. But not just about the vestments, but even the other bits of garb, like why does a priest wear the long black cassock or the Roman collar or black shirt outside of Mass? Why do or why should consecrated religious wear a habit that distinguishes them? But not just the priests and the ordained and the religious, but what about laypersons? Why should all of us as Christians, for that matter, wear modest clothing that shows respect for our bodies? And we do so because, once again, we're all created in God's image and likeness. We're representatives of Christ, and as the scriptures remind us, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And so, as such, we should always be putting forth a better effort in wearing better than usual clothes for Mass, but also to have a better attitude and a better way of life as reflects our relationship with God. And this is nothing new. It goes back for us to baptism, but for the chosen people, the Israelites, it goes back to the very covenant they made with God at Mount Sinai, that the externals must always represent the internals. Baptism was not always a sacrament as you and I understand it, but it does have its roots in cleansing rituals of the Old Testament. Baptism as a cleansing ritual is seen in various forms throughout the Old Testament in various forms. You see things like sprinklings to immersions. It's a sign of purification and exterior cleansing that would lead one to a better disposition of heart and mind, leading toward a purification of heart and mind. In the Old Testament, the priests who offered the sacrifices of animals for sin would always bathe themselves thoroughly in water before putting on special robes, linen robes, linen vestments, as a sign of their purity before God and the holiness of their office as priests. The people themselves were sprinkled sometimes with blood of the sacrifices or with water. They washed themselves before worship as a sign, once again, of being pure and holy before God. And they wore their very best clothing at worship as a priestly people. The women always had their heads covered with veils. Men themselves covered their heads and used that special prayer shawl, that fringed garment, as a sign of humility before God. For the Israelite people, as you see throughout the books of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the human body itself was considered as something sacred. The human person made in God's image and likeness, the body housing God's image and likeness, is itself a temple, which, of course, held the presence of God. Therefore, the nakedness of the body was not to be exposed, as the body belongs to God. And, of course, when one is married, it belongs to God through one spouse, when you're united in marriage before Him. So it seems like it's almost redundant for us to keep talking about these things, but in modern times, it certainly needs to be addressed. How we dress, how we cover our bodies, how we use our bodies, all these things have an effect on our belief. So these Old Testament ideas were carried on by the early Christians, and they were given an elevated meaning. The human body is now seen as even more sacred. Why? Because Christ Himself, the divine Son of God, became clothed in human flesh. He became a man like us in all things but sin, and clothed Himself with our humanity. When Jesus approaches John the Baptist for baptism, He's not being baptized solely for Himself. Remember that the baptism of John was not a sacrament. It wasn't doing anything about washing away sin or making one part of the body of Christ the church. It was symbolic. I've lived a life of sin. I want to change, be faithful to the covenant. Therefore, I'll become baptized. Now, Jesus, of course, is sinless. His baptism is a sign of a break with his past, that quiet, hidden life in Nazareth. And now he begins his preaching, his teaching, which will culminate in his death and resurrection. But, as we all know, it's his death and resurrection that gives baptism a brand new power. The power to, as I said, forgive sin. Formerly, it was merely symbolic. But now, as St. Paul says, all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death. We die with him and rise to a new state of life. The stain of sin is removed, and our souls are marked forever as belonging to Christ. He has given us a new power in new and divine life and filled us with his grace. So we can look at it this way. Christ, a divine person who is clothed in our human flesh, and he's clothed for us in our humanity. Now we, human persons, by his death and resurrection, are clothed in his divinity. What God the Father says about Christ at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," he says about you and about me. "You are now my beloved Son," God says. "You are now my beloved daughter, and in you I am well pleased." And just as the Holy Spirit came to rest upon Christ in the form of a dove, we too have been given that share of the Holy Spirit to draw us into the life of the Father and the Son. We have become, in effect, a new being, a new creation. We are no longer what we once were. This is why the baptized really can't go back into the old way of life of sin, or we shouldn't anyway. We've been called to something new and something great. And so the symbols that we use in baptism become a reminder of those things. The first Christians, after being baptized, were clothed in a white garment. If you've been to a baptism, you realize that we always have the baby dressed in white. And of course, after the child's baptized, we put a white garment on them. Even an adult sometimes are going to wear that white robe. You see the white alb that the deacon and I are wearing. This is a remnant of that. In the early days of Christianity, everybody wore their white baptismal robes to Mass. That became impractical after a time, so only the ordained ministers continued to wear them. But it's exactly that. It's a reminder of our Christian dignity. And we are clothed in that dignity, in Christ's divinity. So those white garments are a sign of that new and eternal life given to us by Christ. At baptism, we rejected Satan, and we should do so every day. We rejected his works, his temptations. We rejected his empty promises. We affirmed our faith in Jesus Christ and his divinity as the Son of God. We professed our faith in his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection. We also profess our faith in his coming again. We profess our faith in the forgiveness of sin, in everlasting life, the existence of the Trinity, and of course, the body of Christ, the Church. We were clothed in holiness. As the scriptures say, God has clothed us with the garment of salvation. But that's not just a one-day, one-time affair. It did happen once, and baptism can only occur once, but that baptism needs to be recommitted to every day. It's a daily recommitment to Christ, a recommitment to his teachings. It's a continual remembrance of who we are as Christians, in what we believe, and also what you and I represent. So yes, it is very important, obviously, to worship the Lord in holy attire, to wear our Sunday best. But we must also honor the Lord every day by keeping a watch, not just on what we wear, but also our attitudes, our words, the things that we do, our actions, how we use our bodies, and how we use our body's faculties. When you think about the clothing that we wear, is it something that's vulgar or something suggestive? Is the clothes that we're wearing immodest? Does it lead others to sin? If so, we need to change that. But not just our clothing, what about our home decor? When people come into our houses, do they see a crucifix? Do they see religious imagery? Is it obvious that they're walking into a Christian household when they come into our homes? What about the books and magazines that we read? Or the websites that we surf? Or different things that we put in our yards, slogans and so on? Or things, slogans that we wear in our clothes, or slogans on our vehicles? I guess the message we can ask is, what are we trying to say to the world? Are we telling the world to look at us? Or are we trying to tell the world, look at Christ? We should be telling the world, look at Christ. So what are we doing to lift up Christ? Are we lifting up our hearts and our minds to him? Or do we simply stay earthbound, vulgar and lowbrow, cheap and vulgar? Are we doing our best at what we can to, as Isaiah said, be a guiding light to those who need the truth? To be a light of love and truth to others, to show people the ways of Christ by helping them to be and to do their best? Or are we, like Isaiah said, there to help those who are imprisoned imprisoned by fear, hardship, sickness, or loneliness? Are we there to rescue those who are stuck in the dark dungeons of immorality, of sin, of anger, hatred, or addictions? Jesus, the Acts of the Apostles said that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, and so are we. He went about doing good, and so should we. He healed those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God is with us. Do we embrace sin, or do we try to cast the devil aside? So what do people hear in us? What do people see in us? What do people experience in us? If not Christ, then sadly we have failed. But we don't have to. The Lord has called us as his own. You are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter. And he has clothed us in the garment of salvation. Worship the Lord in holy attire, inside and out.